Hey, this is Lawrence. I just wanted to record a quick introduction before the episode gets started. This episode was recorded in 2016. I don't know if it holds up or not, but I'm fond of it because I'm on it. Please be sort of gentle with us for the fact that we didn't know what horrors the future held and recommended things that are fairly out of date now. I'd also like to issue a brief content warning. We talk a bit about sexual violence in this episode because it features so heavily in the episode of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater we're reviewing. We also make a few jokes that I think are over the line and a bit fatphobic. I was going to cut them out, but think that sort of censoring what we were like in the past is a little bit cowardly. Enjoy the first episode of Bad Time Radio.
My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Rolling on.
So this is our first podcast, so pardon sort of everything sucking. Anyways, we're talking about the CBS Radio Mystery Theater episode, The Stuff of Dreams, which I think it aired sometime in the 70s. I'm kind of regretting not doing research, but we forge ahead! CBS Radio Mystery Theater is kind of interesting because it's very late for, like, normal old-time radio, which tended to had died off by about 1960, give or take. This stuff was a revival from the 70s. It also ran for, like, 2,000 episodes, which is kind of incredible. This episode was, like, deeply weird. I actually have kind of a personal story about the first time I heard it, if you guys are interested in that, or maybe we could talk about it after the summary.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Checks out.
No, I'm pretty interested.
Okay, so, for a long time I had a bunch of these old radio episodes downloaded, and I'd listen to them on my headphones when I was going to sleep. So I had these, like, 6 or 7, you know, episode-long playlists, and I'd go through them every night. And then 2011, I had this episode on my playlist, and I got super sick. So I spent like 24 hours in bed, and the only thing I could do was get up to press play on that playlist over and over and over because I desperately needed background noise to sort of keep the fever dreams away. So this episode was at the top of the list, and it was sort of the only one I would hear. But I was hearing it through this like intense fever, which meant that I was convinced for a long time that I had dreamed the ending or that it was like for another podcast or another episode that I had transposed onto it, because the ending makes no goddamn sense, as we'll get to. But it was...
Yeah, yeah. That being a dream makes more sense than it being real.
Yeah. So, anyways, so now we're going to do a little thing that I'm trying to get started on the podcast where we actually, like, roll to see who summarizes it, which could be good or bad depending on who actually succeeds.
If it's Rahul, then it's going to be very disjointed.
Yeah. That is just so much bullshit. Yeah, let's roll this fucking thing.
Okay, Ronald will do the honors. Remember, I'm 1, 2, 3, you're 3, 4, Ronald's 5, 6.
Sure.
Ronald, tell us what happened in this episode.
I took some notes. You want them?
Big six. Did you actually take notes?
Yeah.
Wow, you care about this more than you have cared about anything.
Well, yes.
I don't know, he cares about his computer.
Yeah, I love my computer. All right.
Physically.
Okay. Yeah, physically. I don't even know how that
USB
would work.
USB power flashlight.
So hard.
Wait, what's hard?
Like the you case. Know. Well, also your dick. Oh. I mean, did we even have to say that?
Yeah. No, totally.
One sec. Let's... Okay, so Ronald.
We can fix it in post.
Well, I don't know how to do that. I think we'd need like multiple microphones for that.
Totally irredeemable.
Whatever.
Ronald, you just cut out a section.
Yeah, tell us what happened in this episode.
Oh, are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording right now.
Oh, okay. So basically it starts off with this girl knocking on a door and this like really creepy guy. I don't even know why he's in it, honestly.
We do know why he's in front of that door, though. He tells us that he walks his dog there 3 times a day, and he always stops in front of that door.
Even though he's the neighbor. So
yeah.
It's like 10 feet away.
But that does mean that every day, 3 times a day, he's taking his dog to shit in front of that door.
Well, hopefully he at least scoops it, so.
They never.
It's just a pile.
He never says he scoops it, and it was the 70s, so you didn't have to do that shit.
Yeah, I think we assume he didn't, but.
And no one else did.
Yeah, it's the 70s.
I mean, it wasn't said.
I think he was a storytelling device because they didn't have a narrator.
Well, I mean, they had E.G. Marshall, but he doesn't narrate exactly.
Well, also, they repeated everything like 10 times.
Yeah. So. Okay. Anyways, back to.
Yeah. So she's knocking on the door, and this guy comes up, and he's like, "What are you doing here? Nobody ever comes to this house. I've lived next door for 20 years.
What are
you
doing here?"
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much his tone. And he's like, "All I have to do is look at this house because clearly I have nothing better to do with my life."
He says he's living with his sister. So.
So.
I mean, hot. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and he sounds old.
I should mention neither Raul nor I have a sister. Ronald, do you have a sister?
I do.
Is it hot to live with your sister?
No.
But define hot.
I don't know how to answer that.
Answer the question.
It's pretty awkward.
That's fair. Especially now that you're all grown up.
It's one of those things you just can't say when you're being recorded. So we'll talk about it later.
That's not.
I got
Let
it.
The
don't
record
worry about
show
it.
That after we've done recording, we're going to ask Ronald a bunch of questions. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Why would the record show that?
Well, it's
but
in
not
the record.
What I actually said.
The record has this. So
well. Anyway, among other things, because I'm the editor, so I can make you say whatever I want.
I would
assume that he lives with his sister because the show is trying to portray how pathetic he is.
Could be.
I mean,
he doesn't even have a social life. And that's why he watches his neighbor's house the whole day
and makes his dog shit in front of it multiple times a day.
Well, I mean that just makes the
we
house
don't really
more
have
interesting.
A setting,
it attracts
you know?
Flies.
I think
we
it's
don't.
New York, sort of by it's default, because these things were
was housing in New York expensive back in the '70s.
Not
I'm
as
sure
much
this
as you
was
think.
A suburb.
Also, well, also it is mentioned that the dude has or the lady has a lot of money.
That's yeah. true. The Tipton was
yeah.
rich.
Yes.
Anyways, Ronald, sorry.
Yes. So. He explains that nobody ever visits there, and he's been watching the house for some reason for 20 years, and he's never seen anyone visit. So she's like, well, I got a job, call for a job, so leave me alone. Basically tells him to buzz off, and he leaves. And,
what,
then,
and this introduces one of the most amusing themes of the movie, or sorry, the show, which is her being increasingly rude to the neighbor to the point where at the end she's just like just ignore him and refuses to speak to him at all.
I mean, he is pretty annoying, but only in a normal sense. He's not, he doesn't ask for anything extraordinary. He just kind of wants to talk.
I mean, he's annoying to us because he's another chance for them to vomit up some exposition that we've already heard.
Yeah. And exposition that we never cared about.
Yeah.
So anyways, finally somebody enters the door and it's this woman who sounds out of breath. And you immediately find out that she's very fat and rich and lives in the house alone.
Okay, I want to talk about this real quick. She's very rich because she divorced her husband.
Yeah. Yes.
Or her husband divorced her and took her kid. Now, it was very hard to the point where they actually made movies about this for a husband to get custody of the kid. So what
so
do we think?
She was insane.
I mean, the episode does bear out that, but
either that or she agreed to it for the money.
Could be that's very possible. But
it sounded like she didn't really. Want
you can agree to giving your kid away in exchange for money. From
I mean,
husband.
It would be sort of like I'll agree to these terms in the divorce if you agree to these terms. You know,
yes. It's just like a negotiation.
Yes,
yeah, can. I guess huh. if she wasn't fighting for the kid, maybe it would have been easier.
Yeah.
But my question here is: do you think she was doing the insane shit? We'll find out later when she was hanging out with her husband and
yeah.
kid.
But she made possible. It seem like she was regretful about it.
A little, but then
she, like,
later
she was
she's
bitter
like,
about it.
But then later she also says, "I haven't seen my kid since he
that's
was five,
true.
And I don't give a shit."
Yeah,
that's also true.
So I mean, we've got sort of two possibilities, three possibilities. One, we don't know why they got divorced. Two, it was because she's doing this annoying shit we'll talk about later. Or three, he left her because she got that glandular condition and was real fat.
Could have been any. I mean, if he was rich, then he could probably get, you know. Somebody who's
I
not
mean,
fat.
And again, she certainly didn't make the money, considering.
I mean, I think it's really interesting that, like, basically the first thing we find out about this woman is that she's very overweight.
And they introduce that she has a heart condition, which I was convinced the first time I heard this when I wasn't feverish and delirious was going to come back in some way.
I didn't
it does doesn't. Not.
She nope. said she had a gland condition, then she had a heart condition, then.
I assumed that the heart condition was that she was fat and ran down the stairs.
I kind of figured that she was going to get scared to death at the end. Because that's usually what a heart condition means
yeah.
in this sort of thing. But
yeah, I can see that. Well, that doesn't pan out. But, so we do immediately find out that she's overweight and has a really nice house that's somehow kept up. Even
the
though,
housekeeper.
Yeah, there is a house. Oh, that's right. There is a housekeeper. And I guess there are people who come in and
like
decorate,
show her samples and shit.
But this our hero, I guess, or the protagonist who kind of just dips out at the end.
Antagonist.
What's her name again? May.
I don't know. May.
Her name was May. She's asking. She asks what the job is, and the Tipton, who's the fat rich lady, tells her that basically she lives there alone with no social contact, and literally all she does all day is dream. But
it's fantasizing, not like she's asleep all the time.
She's not asleep.
They point this out like at great length, which makes me wonder why they bothered using the word dream at all. Why not just say, you know, fantasize or something?
Yeah, you know, I really thought that the episode was going to be more dream themed.
Yeah.
But it didn't really seem to be.
Yeah, I expected like some magic, some like evil dream magic.
Well, we do end up in a very magical place at the end. I mean,
we do, but it's not really hinted that was a dream.
Yeah. It's just so magical.
The only hint. Oh, well, we'll talk about it when we get to the twist. And believe us, listeners, there is a twist that I'd say it's amazing. It's unexpected. It might be the most unmotivated twist there's ever been.
There really was no reason to do it besides, I guess this is the end of the...
How do we end this episode?
I mean, we'll talk about the possible endings this episode could have had when we get to it too, but
yeah.
I got some theories about why that ending is there.
Okay. Well, basically, she says, I dream all day. But since I don't ever see anyone, my dreams are getting really boring because they're the same thing over and over. So I need a social bridge, somebody to basically tell me about real life so that I can have some more fuel for the dreams.
Dream fuel.
Yeah, exactly. Some dream fuel. But she has no creativity. Well, she doesn't have any creativity left because nothing has ever happened to her.
I feel like maybe she just do shrooms or something. Like that might.
Well, she's a very like prim and proper 70s woman. They weren't doing shrooms.
She was not prim and proper.
Well, we'll get to that, too.
You know, there's a dichotomy.
But the point is, if you never leave the house, it's probably pretty hard to get illegal things.
I don't know. I mean
she could probably hire somebody.
Are you saying you do illegal things, Lawrence?
Well, yeah, but not, like, drugs. I'm more like pirate stuff off the internet.
All right, we're gonna strike that from the record, because that's even a bigger of a crime.
I have never done that, for the record.
Yeah, I would never. I would not pirate anything. I would not download a car.
Is this how... Okay, if you had the technology, you would absolutely
download
a car.
I would not download a car.
I mean, I think you could already, like... Well, no, you can't already, but...
How would I get out of my bedroom?
I think in the future, people are definitely going to download cars and 3D print them.
No way. That future will never arrive. Humanity will be, or the Earth will be a radioactive wasteland by the time.
Yeah, that might be.
Oh, right, because Trump got elected. But if Trump hadn't got elected, maybe it would have happened.
Well, then I would have gotten elected.
How'd you work that one out?
Judgment Day is inevitable.
I really want to see your math on that one.
Is this a math thing, Lawrence?
The two things that could have happened in 2016 were either you got elected.
No. We're not continuing with your thought. We're going to the part where this is a math thing.
It's not.
I don't see how math
is logic. Okay. Anyways. So she wants to hire this person to, like, hear about her regular living, and she's paying her an absurd amount, which is, like,
$300
a week, but
she's
probably
like,
a lot.
She's, like, kind of evasive about it, too, in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's, like, she's kind of confusing and, like, weird, and she's like, I just need you to live your life, or
and then tell me about it.
Yeah, but...
Except the problem is May is just, like, extremely boring.
Yeah,
And also doesn't want to reveal any interesting parts.
Like, I wanted to hurt myself listening to May.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, honestly, she had some interesting parts of her life, but she just chose not to tell those, even though that's clearly the reason why the woman hired her. So, anyways, that's later... Somehow later, I don't even.
So
the bridge here is like
jumps.
A commercial break.
Yeah, yeah. And then okay.
Yeah, no. If you go ahead, if you
no,
had
no,
a tangent,
I just wanted to point out. So basic summary: old fat lady. I'm not body shaming. The thing goes out of its way to point out repeatedly that she's over 300 pounds
and old
and has a heart condition.
And she said that when she was her proper weight is 110.
Well, that's her fantasy weight, you know.
Yeah.
So she's like, she hires a not boring, but, you know,
yes, boring.
Boring, well, yeah, woman to go present, to go tell her about her life so that she can have better daydreams.
But she could sense that she wasn't boring at the beginning.
On the phone. Apparently, she didn't do an
interview.
And
when she saw her, she saw this look in her eyes. She said she saw this hungry look.
Although, as we'll later find out, this woman is insane.
That's true. And also, May is boring.
Well, yeah, May is boring.
We find that out repeatedly.
The hard way.
To be fair, everyone in this thing is kind of boring.
Well,
except for Miss Tipton. And Eddie? That's only because Miss Tipton is... Well, Eddie turns interesting when you find out the twist. Until then...
Eddie's not boring.
Okay.
I didn't like Eddie.
Eddie was pretty interesting. Remember when he just burned the money?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. An alpha move. Burning your own money.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. As we learned in Rush Hour, it burns a different color.
That's
than fake
true.
Money.
Yeah, we need to get back and talk to Eddie about that.
Oh, yeah, we got to ask him what he saw.
I've never burned any money, but I'm curious.
No, we did.
Well, it would it be didn't a crime. Work, I mean...
Oh, right, yeah, we didn't.
I mean, we heard that burning money...
Right, we saw someone else do it.
Yeah.
And told them not to.
Yeah, we were like, dude...
All right, well, then there was a commercial break, I think.
Oh, one more tangent. I will point out, we didn't get them in this episode, but often, especially on CBS Radio Mystery Theater, you will get the vintage 70s commercials in, like, the file, and they are often highly entertaining. There was one where Goldilocks was a soda tester who found out that she really liked 7-Up. And I'm like, what? I mean, I don't know how things were done in the 70s. That's fair. But
she's like,
what?
Different sodas on the freaking table?
It's on radio.
It's on radio. How do you know?
Yeah.
She drinks it. She drinks what we assume is 7-Up and goes, this soda is just right. And I'm like, someone got paid to write that line.
70s were a magical time.
Well, remember the puns in this one?
Yeah, that's fair, but those are E.G. Marshall puns.
Well, anyway, so after that, it cuts to, jump cut to May talking to this guy, Eddie, who's in prison, and she's talking to him through, like, the prison phone system, I'm assuming. And she's saying, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm the one who got you in here, I feel really bad about it. And you know that she was a social worker, so I assumed it had something to do with the social work that she had done. That was not the case at all. I will say that immediately after, Eddie is like, oh, I'm going to get out next week, but I don't have anywhere to go. I'm going to live in just wherever. And she's like, well, I'll help you out however I can. And he's like, how about a place to live? And she's like, oh, I don't know about that. Even though I guess she's just trying to be proper. But she's like... Oh, I don't think so. And he's like, I'll just sleep on the couch or whatever. But it sounds like later that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, you know.
Although, wait, it never happened.
Then, May won't tell Mrs. Tipton what happened.
Yeah,
so we don't know.
Dang it.
We don't know for sure, but we can probably assume since...
Since they're living
Eddie.
Together
knowing
and also
Eddie.
Knowing Eddie.
Knowing Eddie.
Although, I will point... This is another weird tangent. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater on this episode was pretty, like, weak. Like, reluctant to talk about sex. There is an episode of this that we may get to later called Mind Over Matthew that, if my memory serves, is softcore porn.
Sick.
And I mean, it's on the radio, so it's emphasis on the soft, but still.
So we're not going to listen to that one.
No, we might. I don't know.
Well,
not
I mean,
together. It would be awkward
soft.
When I just start masturbating.
Yeah, that's not
I mean,
the awkward
I would
part.
Film it, and then I would post it on the website.
Yeah.
Which is badtimeradio.com. Bad time?
Probably .blogspot.org. I will put in something.
Co.uk.
Right. I'm going to put something on the end.
CNN.com/badtimeradio.
Yeah.
That's where it'll be.
You can only
you know, if we change the name of the show, this is going to be so horrible.
You can only get to it through an encrypted Tor connection. So.
And I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to look a lot like Silk Road because it is Silk Road. But if you know where to look on.
Badtimeradio.onion.
But if you know where to look on Silk Road, you can buy this.
Yeah, and then that's what we really want is your money. Okay, so
where were
she's
we?
Talking to Eddie, and he's in prison, and he asks if he can stay with her, and she's like, oh, no, I don't know. And then I guess she eventually is like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, he's kind of pushy about it.
Yeah, and this is also after she spends about 10 minutes explaining the thing we heard Miss Tipton say again.
Oh, right. Yeah, she talks to him, and he's like, oh, wow, that's weird. It kind of sounds like a young Christopher Walken.
A little. He doesn't have the weird pauses of a Walken.
He occasionally does.
That's fair.
But yeah, not obviously nearly as pronounced.
Maybe he's Christopher Walken's father.
Or maybe he is Christopher Walken, because Christopher Walken's pretty old.
I will point out, celebrities occasionally would show up on this thing. Like, Sarah, I mean, it was mostly mainstays
of... He doesn't say Sarah Connor.
Sarah Jessica Parker actually was on an episode
of
this.
SJP?
Yeah. And also John Lithgow. he gets he gets attacked by robots. Wow, well, he gets put in a concentration camp by robots.
You said there were 2,000 episodes?
1,900 and something.
What, every day?
Well, it ran for several years, and yeah, they did this weird production line thing where they'd meet at 9 for the first script read and have the thing recorded by, like, 12, which is insane.
And they made money off of it?
Yeah, apparently they did.
Well, they gotta make more money out of it. They gotta make more money off of it by just the sheer numbers.
I don't know. I don't know how the radio business is. It's kind of weird.
Okay, so she talks to Eddie, and then there's another cut. And it cuts back to May talking to Tipton, and it's like one of their sessions. And she's talking about pretty much the most boring possible things. Like, oh, I bought some shirts, and that's pretty much all I did this week.
She also mentions that she goes out to dinner with Eddie.
Well, I think she doesn't even mention that until some pushing. In which Tipton's like, come on, you got to give me some real info. I don't care if you went shopping. Tell me about, like, don't you have a guy in your life? And she doesn't say that Eddie was in prison. She says he was away.
Yeah, well, Tipton's being all mean and pushy.
At one point, she's like, you haven't said anything interesting since I met you.
You're the most boring woman I've ever met.
It's true. May is clearly holding back, like, the interesting part of her life. So
she's a bad employee.
Yeah, I mean, she's getting paid a lot basically just for that, and she's holding it back. So it seems kind of, you know, I can understand why Tipton got a little pushy. But then she just says, oh, we went to a dinner last night, and then we went to a movie after, and I don't even remember the name of the movie.
Hey. That dinner, Eddie had salad, steak, and ice cream, which is a hell of a heavy meal.
Yeah, and she says that's the most boring food you can eat, which I'm like,
I don't think
that sounds
so
pretty good to me. Yeah. I mean,
I feel like oatmeal or something.
Or, I mean, if you just had salad, that's pretty boring. But I feel the salad, the steak, and the ice cream all together, that's at least an odd combination to me.
Three-course meal.
Every food group.
I mean, back in the 70s, like, the cows were a really big part of the food market. So, like, legit.
You mean they cornered it?
The cow lobby?
Okay, Lawrence, you might know this better. World War One, there was like a bunch of condensed milk sent over to the troops. Maybe it was World War Two, and then after that, there was like so many dairy farmers here in the United States that it became heavily subsidized.
Yeah, I'll buy that
because we always have to prop up our farming industry.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's why you always see like promotions for like extra cheese on stuff because there's just way too much milk out there.
Mm.
So, anyways, that's the reason he had steak and ice cream. Basically, as much as he could.
Yeah,
except
A1. Yeah,
they use every part of the cat.
He just put the ice cream.
I think
that is a truly disgusting image. I just want to dwell on it for a second. I think that the audio caught this, but Raul just suggested that instead of A1 sauce, you put ice cream on a steak, which, in addition to being like the quickest way to a heart attack I can imagine,
hey man,
also,
he ate it anyways.
Yes, he freaking ate it.
The ice cream is going to melt. And you're going to end up with a soggy steak covered in weird gummy white liquid.
It would not be soggy. Also, it would not be vanilla.
Well, the liquid is gummy because it's all... Yeah. Okay, so...
Obviously, mint chocolate chip on a rare as hell steak.
So it's going to be cold steak with melted ice cream.
And it's going to be green, and the steak's going to be kind of floating in like a thing of sort of green ice
cream
soup.
Why is it floating? Is it like levitating?
I don't... Okay, Raul...
He imagined it in a bowl, I think.
Raul, I will admit...
What, it's like some kind of superconducting apparatus?
Here's how I imagined it, right? You get a big steak, and then you get like a little scoop, and you put it on there, and then it melts, and you get that nice little...
Yeah. Okay.
A melty. You never had a melty ice cream steak a la mode?
I will admit, you guys are calling me out a little bit. I don't eat that much like meat on account of I'm a vegan, and more importantly, I haven't extensively studied whether steak floats or not in melted ice cream.
The science is still out on that one, I think.
We have our
You're gonna have to do a few more experiments. But the point is that he ate steak and ice cream, which is a ludicrous amount of food. He's clearly...
Well, his portion sizes were smaller back
then. He's clearly gorging himself.
No, he's not.
So get ready to make love to his woman.
Eddie is a man of vice.
Like, okay, Raul, now... I don't pretend to know your personal life, but when you're getting ready to lay with a woman and you really want to do her right, it's important to have a lot of like sort of not carbs, but protein and whatever the fuck ice cream is, I guess just sugar.
And fat.
And fat inside of you, so you've got enough energy for
that's
the thrusting.
That's definitely true. I carbo load before.
Well, yeah. I feel that that's a mistake. I think you want more short energy from the sugar and then long energy from the, you know, meat and the protein.
Long energy.
So you've
long
got a little bit of a meat. So you've got also a little bit upsized. Of a lull. You do her for about 2 hours off the sugar, then you both take a little bit of a break. Then that steak starts kicking in, bam, you got another 4 hours.
And then it's the morning. You go to work and you come back.
That's the classic 7 hour love making ritual.
It's pretty classic.
Yeah, the first 2 hours, then a break, then the steak kicks in.
I mean, you did forget a crucial step, which is the meth part.
Oh yeah. And then at the end, you both seal your love by taking hits off the same meth pipe. Do you smoke meth? I don't know. I didn't get far enough in Breaking Bad to know that.
You definitely did.
Did they ever have
you
sex in Breaking
can.
Bad?
Oh yeah, they Jesse was banging Kristen Ritter.
Oh yeah.
And then
on
she,
meth?
Heroin.
Well, this was heroin? I thought you were too tired when you did heroin to do anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was ultimately the problem. She became too tired to do anything.
Well, funny thing is, Breaking Bad spoilers. Spoiler.
All right. Spoiler. So let's move on to the episode because we haven't gotten to any of the good parts yet.
Well, the good part, to be fair, the good parts are the last 10 minutes of a 44-minute episode that is 90% repeating the premise over and over.
So, Tipton finally gets pissed and says, "Hey, listen up. You got to tell me the real stuff in your life." And finally, she reveals that Eddie is in jail, and Tipton really grasped on that. She's like, "Oh, he's in jail," and she's really interested, maybe even a little turned on. I mean, definitely turned on.
Here's where I'm going to drop.
Especially knowing later.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this in a sec. I got a bomb I'm going to drop on you guys.
Oh, not again. That's disgusting.
No, not that kind of.
Yeah, let's hear the bomb.
No. Let's get a little bit further into how excited Tipton is.
Okay. Yeah. So she's really excited, and she's. She's asking for more details.
And she's fairly intuitive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
seems
she,
to know her stuff. And so May says that he broke into a friend of hers' house, and May had gone with her friend to court to identify him because her friend was nervous. And Tipton says, No, I know enough about people to say that. When they say their friend, they actually mean themselves. So he broke into your house, didn't he? And she's like, "What? No!" And then finally she admits that, yes, he did break into her house. Mm-hmm. And then Tipton implies that not only did he steal her stuff, but he also stole her, as in he raped her. That's explicitly said.
Yeah, it's this show has kind of a weird relationship with rape. There are a few episodes that deal with it explicitly, but they also tend to just throw the word around, which, and that could be a larger 70s thing. It's pretty uncomfortable coming to it today.
It is.
And here's where I'm going to drop a bomb on her. So Tipton's getting pretty horned up thinking about May maybe getting raped, right?
Yes.
This episode was written by a woman.
Yeah. I mean.
So now we know that her name is Elspeth Eric. She wrote 200 episodes for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
But Tipton isn't supposed to be a good person.
Even so, this episode gets pretty kinky, and I think we can kind of guess what Elspeth liked in the bedroom from sort of what goes on in this episode.
Whoa, man.
I wouldn't go there.
I'm not going to assume make any assumptions on that, but Tipton definitely is into it. And it's not really clear if that happened. It seemed like it didn't.
Eddie, she does say, May says to Eddie later, "I wouldn't tell her anything that didn't happen," which is why she wouldn't tell her that she, you know.
Yeah, but she also denies a lot of other stuff that did happen.
But I kind of got the impression that something did happen.
Knowing who Eddie was, it wouldn't be.
Okay, we're going to deal with that when we get to the twist.
Yes.
Nothing about Eddie's character makes any goddamn sense once you know the twist.
That's true. Okay.
Also, it's at this point that Ronald said, and I quote, "Eddie's pretty hot."
I said Eddie's probably hot.
Yeah, and I just want everyone, I told Ronald at the time to put a pin in it. Put a pin in that now. We're going to get back to it.
Yes, Lawrence, you know, is taking it a different direction than I was. My point was that, like, she saw this guy and basically instantly fell for him. He must be pretty hot.
He must be pretty hot for him to be able to break and enter his way into a woman's heart. Yes.
Okay, so even though May keeps denying it, Tipton's, like, getting really into it. And she says, "I want you to bring this guy to my house tomorrow night for dinner." And then finally May is like, "Nah, fine, I will." And then she takes the money and leaves. And Then she goes home and has dinner with Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
apparently out of prison.
Yeah,
he got released and went and started living with her. He's apparently out on probation.
Yes, because in the story, she said he's back. He came back last night, and so we finally got dinner together.
Right. Yeah. Okay. They don't serve steak and ice cream in prison, right?
Well, no.
Yeah. I mean, probably not good at steak and ice cream, at least. So she's telling Eddie about this, and he seems pretty interested. And May says, yeah, she wants you to come for dinner. If you want to go, that's cool. If you don't, that's also cool. I'm going to quit anyways. And, I mean, they just basically repeat a lot of the stuff we already heard. But then Eddie says, yeah, no, I definitely want to go. And then she's like, what? And he's like, I want the job. This sounds amazing. It sounds perfect for me. And May says, it's not worth the money. I thought it was at first, but it's not worth the money. And she's like, here, you can have this money that I just got for you.
Here's where a weird thing happens. Eddie at one point says, I'm going to turn this, I want the money, I'm going to make this job pay, you know, all of the money in the world. Which, weird thing to say, Miss whatever, Tipton, almost certainly not that rich. But on the other hand, maybe he's talking about something else, you know.
Yeah, I think...
Probably.
Events later imply that...
This is, I guess, maybe the one point in the story where they foreshadow the twist a little bit. At the time, it sounds just like he's going to go... He's really into fucking this old, you know, morbidly obese woman.
Or he just wants to get paid. Until...
Yeah, I thought he was going to rob her. That's what I thought.
That could be.
Right. Until
that would explain, breaking.
And that would explain why he's like, I'm going to make this pay, you know, all the money in the world.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
be
quite that much.
Job,
but
yeah.
If you went in there, killed a woman, you've got a week to empty out the place. There's probably a million bucks in there.
There's probably a lot of money in there. So I could see the temptation. But then right after that, he's like, here, give me that money. And he burns it. And... I guess that's to show that he doesn't give a crap about money.
Well,
but
that's
also
what he was saying. That he didn't care about the money. But at the same time...
It also seemed pretty interesting that he was just like, I'm going to make it pay everything.
I mean, maybe it's not about the money. Maybe it's about the process of earning money for him.
Yeah, you know, he's just a hardworking American.
He's a hardworking American.
Trying to get to the American
He doesn't
team.
Even know why he wants the money most days. He just has to keep making it. And then we cut to commercial, and E.G. Marshall busts out a series of the most groan-inducing...
fire puns
that I can imagine. Like, he's like, I guess, what was it?
Legal Tinder, not
instead,
tender.
Yeah, shit like that. A little note on E.G. Marshall. I love the guy. He's a great actor. You probably remember him from Superman 2. He's the fellow, the president who kneels before Zod. He was also the old man in Creepshow who gets, like, filled with cockroaches, which is pretty good. Great, great actor. But on this show... He sometimes does good. He's almost never in the actual show, which is annoying. Because if you've got E.G. Marshall, why not just put him in? The other weird thing is that there's this long tradition of horror hosts. We'll get to some of them as this podcast continues. E.G. Marshall's kind of like a less, I want to say, Baroque example of the type. Because he doesn't have any supernatural powers. And he isn't constantly threatening to kill the listener. Which are two things that they usually do. So he's just kind of like this old guy who you go to his house, based on the sound effects, you go into his house and he tells you a creepy story.
And then you leave.
That sounds more threatening.
I don't know.
I would rather die than to have that happen.
I would love to hang out with E.G. Marshall. He is dead as a doornail right now, which bums me out a lot. But if he were still alive, or, you know, when I die and it turns out there's an afterlife, he is on the top of my list of people to hang out with.
I mean, he's probably in heaven. You're definitely going to hell, though.
That's true.
I'm definitely going to hell.
Yeah,
I don't know about you.
Well, you're all going to hell.
You're the only one who's ascending.
If I have to take you to hell myself.
And then I'm going to leave you there and go to heaven. That's Raul's plan.
Yeah. No, that's probably true.
I mean, I've got to deal with the devil.
Yeah, so anyways, finally we get to the final act, which is... May brings Eddie over to Tipton's house.
And not before they encounter that obnoxious neighbor yet again.
Walking his dog.
Yeah, no reason at all. I guess they want to establish that he knows that Eddie's in the house.
Yes.
But there are so many better ways of doing that than making us spend five goddamn minutes.
And also, it honestly doesn't matter that he knows that Eddie's in the house. It really doesn't.
Well, it matters a little bit for the ending.
Right, but that ending was...
Yeah, what matters in establishing that it wasn't a dream.
I guess. Sort
they,
of.
You need like an independent verification. Well, it's this crazy old dude with his dog.
It doesn't even matter if it's a dream. To
well,
be
does
honest.
Anything matter? Is yeah. that is
that that's
this?
Fair?
Welcome back to the Nihilist podcast.
I will say, I think
nothing matters.
I think that this episode would actually have been more thematically appropriate if they'd done a little bit more with the dreaming, and then at the end it turned out that Miss Tipton had just imagined May.
Well, they made such a big deal out of the whole dreaming thing. It was just confusing that they just
anyways,
like
right. Well, okay. So, anyways, so May and Eddie go into the Tipton's house after encountering the nosy neighbor, who doesn't really add anything besides being like, "Hey, I'm here." And then Tipton immediately, like, basically pounces on Eddie, and Eddie's kind of eating it up.
Yeah, Eddie's very clearly, I know this woman wants to fuck me. He had this speech he gave to May earlier where he's like, "All I know women like you, you're weak and can't do stuff for yourself. You want to change me.
Yeah.
You're
he,
just like
And
Ms.
he uses
Tipton.
Some colloquial term, like biddy,
yeah,
which is, I'm pretty sure, just a word for woman, I guess?
It means an old woman, yeah.
Ah, okay.
You thought it was bippy, which means a dick, didn't you?
No. I thought it was biddy.
I have never heard what you just said.
It was a Groucho Marx show called You Bet Your Biddy, or Bippy.
Bippy.
And I think, Bippy. I'm like 90%, my mom told me when I was little that it meant dick and I wasn't allowed to say it in public. It could be my mom was dog-toothing.
So you
that's
haven't,
fair.
You have not learned your lesson then.
Well.
Yeah, you keep saying
you
it.
Keep saying
I also keep saying fuck.
Oh, don't say that word.
No, you can
it's
say
recorded.
That. That one's natural.
Yeah. Yeah. But
necessary,
dicks.
Necessary to live. Yeah. Dicks way unnatural. Don't mention that again. Yeah. No, okay, so Eddie's eating it up. He's really into it. Which is really weird because she's clearly established as a very ugly, old, fat woman.
These are things that Miss Tipton said about herself. It's not like us, like...
Well, I mean, I don't even know how we would interpret that considering it's a radio
show.
Yeah,
we're not body shaming her any more than the episode is.
Right.
I just... You know,
absolutely not.
We're cool with whatever body shape you want to be, but this episode is very clearly like Miss Tipton is hideous. No one will want to do her.
Yeah,
but Eddie's motivations are nebulous.
Yes,
they're pretty unclear.
That is a very kind way of putting scene to change from scene to scene, and indeed sentence to sentence.
We don't really know what's going on, but Tipton is like, "Hey, you want to come see my bedroom, Eddie?" And May says, "Hey, I want to see the bedroom." And she's like, "Oh, fine. Well, I guess whatever. You can come." So they go up, and immediately May's like, "Oh, my God. This is so gorgeous. It's beautiful. No one ever change it." And he's like, "Yeah, it's all right.
I'm going to change it."
I mean, yeah, I have some suggestions, which that never pans out.
Yeah. Dudes are bad at interior designing. I'll just say it.
Everybody knows that.
I mean, this room is a testament. I have no design sense, and I don't think most men do either.
I will
especially
be burning
not...
it to the ground later because it's so hideous.
Well, even if it were very pretty, you would burn it to the ground.
I mean,
you've
yours.
Got a problem. Yeah, you just
you're
kind
pretty
of.
Pretty much chaos embodied.
Yeah, you just you. Live. You live to bring misery to your friends.
God.
Which
you're like a swarm of
okay,
locusts.
Well.
It kind of raises the question of why we're friends with you, Frank.
When did this turn into a roast?
I kind of wonder sometimes. If you're one of the plagues that God sent,
one of them,
and God,
God
said,
is real,
and God said unto the Egyptians, "I shall set upon your houses a sort of normal sized Indian fellow, not that kind of Indian, the kind from Asia, and he will
before just... we discover the new world."
Hey, God always knew about the new world. Okay, yeah.
Come on, dude, God knows all. All right. So, anyways, they go up to the bedroom, and clearly Eddie is, like, making a lot of suggestive remarks to Tipton, and it's getting pretty weird, and May is really uncomfortable, and then Tipton tells her to go clean up the dishes.
And Eddie's like, cleaning the dishes.
Eddie's definitely into it.
Tipton's just like, card on the table, I'm gonna fuck your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And her response, May's response is... I am not being paid to clean the dishes, so I will not clean the dishes. Which proves that, I guess maybe May's trying to be tactful, but we're far past the point where you should be tactful.
I think
she
it proves
stupid.
That money rules the world.
I think it's also that May is just so dumb that she doesn't like understand that Eddie would be into that, I guess.
Maybe.
Or
it could also, in the logic of this episode, not Lawrence's logic, it could be that this episode and is saying... Sort of May thinks that Miss Tipton is so hideous that she's just like, Eddie's not going to go for that.
Yeah.
Even though Eddie has in previous scenes said like, hey, I mean, sort of implied, yeah, I'll go for that.
Yeah. So anyways, May's like, no, I'm not doing it. And then Eddie says, hey, I want to talk to you out in the hall. And so finally she agrees to that. And he's like, listen, this is exactly what I want. I can tell what this woman wants. And it's me. And I don't mind that. And you're annoying, so leave. And she's like, no, Eddie, no. And then finally she leaves.
No, she's outside the door, isn't she?
Well, he tells her to leave, and then he closes the door.
Yeah, God knows. So.
And then he closes the door. And then immediately he's like, oh, the lights are out. Mrs. Tipton, where are you? And it's like clearly like super sexually charged scene, and she's in the bed. And then he's like, I'm going to light a match so you can see my face.
I mean, it's supposed to be sexually charged, but it isn't really because we know she's, like, really not attractive.
Well, I mean, ugly people can get down to fucking roll. Yeah.
I know, but I mean, like, it
just
doesn't
just
doesn't
because
connect.
She's unattractive.
If, I will say that if this
I know it's supposed to be sexual, but I feel like it does not connect because they make her non-sexual.
Just because it doesn't turn you on does not mean it's not.
No, they went to the pains of making her unattractive in the show.
I will say it's weird to me that Miss Tipton isn't trying to set up some kind of like shitty like rape fantasy scenario here where she's like, oh, Eddie, I've fallen and I can't get up and I'm so helpless or something. Yeah. I'm actually really bad at thinking up rape scenarios, which I think is a credit to me as a person.
The fact that you brought it up so blatantly, it sounds
more
like...
that's fair. This
sounds
probably
more like you're trying to throw a smoke
screen. This is contrived. Yeah. I can tell you've thought of this before.
But, I mean, she's clearly going for some consensual sex with...
Well, and in fact, in a second, she does say, you're going to rape me, aren't you?
Oh, right, right.
Well, anyways...
Which, if you're asking that question...
Yeah.
And the tone of voice she uses...
Well, I mean, okay.
Yes, obviously, affirmative consent and all that.
Yeah.
No, not in all that. It's the single most important sexual concept you can have, and you must always get it before you have sex. But on the other hand, if a woman is in a super sexy voice whispering in your ear, you're going to rape me, aren't you? That is some mixed-ass signals. I will say that.
Yeah, well, considering who she's talking to. Anyways, so yeah. Eddie is like, do you want to see my... And she's like, you do seem familiar. And he's like, yeah, you want to see my face? I'll light a match. And it's like... Weren't you guys just downstairs in a fully lit room?
Yeah.
No, because she turned out all the lights.
Right now. But yeah, before that, they were at dinner.
Yeah.
And that was a fully lit room, and she definitely saw his face.
So presumably we're going to get into some fire play.
Yeah. So anyways, he lights a match, and she's like, oh my God, you're him. And he's like, yes. And then it turns out that, here it is, guys, Eddie was the devil the whole time.
Now, Ronald, now that you know this amazing twist, I'm going to throw this up into both of you. There is a bumper at the start of the show where they briefly have a May it's not actually something that happens in the episode, where they have May talking to Eddie, and May's like, I'm going to tell her. Not clear who her is, but we can guess from context, Tipton probably, although Tipton hasn't been introduced, who you really are. And Eddie goes, you don't know who I really am. Aside from that, which is not in the episode, is there any evidence whatsoever for this twist?
The fact that he burned the money.
I guess maybe the devil doesn't need money. But on the other hand, would the devil really get caught breaking and entering, for instance, or do some time in the state pen?
I don't really understand any of his motivations throughout.
I mean,
besides,
is the devil just punishing them for sins?
Did she commit for that matter?
Let's wrap it up real quick, and then we'll discuss the implications of the twist. So Eddie is the devil for some reason. You can see it when he lights the match.
And he has to light multiple matches.
Yeah. He lights it, and she's like, oh, you're the devil. And then she starts screaming, my satanic master.
And also calls him the archfiend and is really into still having sex with him.
Well, at that point, all of us would be.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it's
he's
the
a
devil.
Fucking devil.
Yeah. Right? He's a celebrity.
He deigned to come to her bedroom? Like, what? How lucky.
Can I get an autograph?
No, but, so right after
on
that,
my boobs.
Right after that, she is, like, super into it, and then suddenly she's like, oh, you're going to rape me, aren't you? Which is, like, really, really weird. And then suddenly she's like, no, you're burning me. There's a fire.
Because apparently he dropped the match.
Yeah, he dropped the match.
Or is using devil powers.
Burned her up. Because, I mean, what would you really expect the devil to do? I mean, like, I don't understand.
I will put...
Yeah.
If the devil shows up in my room, I don't know what I would expect him to do. Setting my house on fire, not on the list. Drag me to hell. Tempt me in some way.
I could
be super spooky.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's definitely going to have sex with you.
Well, yeah, but that's only because I really want to make that happen.
Like, if he's really the devil, why did he do all this other stuff? Yeah. Like, why was his intermediary May
Is
there?
Is it supposed to be more metaphorical? Like, he has some of the devil's qualities?
I don't. It sounded like, the ending suggests no.
Yeah, the ending suggests true. No. So, right. So it ends with her screaming, which is actually pretty terrifying.
Yeah, she's being burned alive.
Yeah, and then it cuts to the neighbor, the annoying neighbor who's been super nosy this whole time, who's talking to some other woman housemaid? That was never introduced.
Housemaid.
Yeah, the housemaid. She gets mentioned, and this is the first time we meet her.
Yeah, this is the first time we meet her. And they're talking about how the house burned up, and he says, like, oh, so was everyone's... the maid says everyone was still inside, and he's like, well, where was the man? Because May apparently was still in there right outside the door.
Yeah, May, when the room started burning up, May came and tried to save Mrs. Tipton, which, considering what Mrs. Tipton was trying to do to her boyfriend, I mean...
Pretty noble.
Yeah, very noble.
Well, and the logistics of it, I think that's a bigger issue. You know?
Well, she might have also been locked in the house. It's not super clear.
Many things in this episode, make that much sense.
They say that the bedroom door was locked, but there was no man's body found inside. And the nosy neighbor's like, no, I was watching the front and back of the house the whole time. The guy never left. He must have been in there. I saw him go in. And he must have been in the bedroom. He started the fire. And the maid says, no one else was in the bedroom, and it was locked. So there was no way he could have gotten out. So you're an idiot. And he's like, oh, there was definitely someone in there.
And I'm going to tell the police.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the police.
I will point out. Okay.
And then the maid also, just a little for fight. Some reason, the maid's like, the police are just going to think you're a moron, which is true.
Where is this reaction coming out of the maid? Like, it didn't make any sense.
Okay, now, here's a question for you guys. Why the fuck is the maid there? The house burned down and everyone's dead.
I guess
she's the devil.
That?
Well, I thought that was going to be, like, a thing. That, like, she was going to know more than she should have, and it was, like, kind of... But that didn't seem to be what...
No. So, also, the house is burned down, but that guy's still taking his dog out to shit in front of it.
I mean, I probably would.
I'm glad that, you know, he got one last in.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they didn't use the dog. Like, in a lot of horror now,
they probably didn't have a dog.
Well,
at the radio.
That's not what I mean.
I'm going to lay a little knowledge on you. They're dudes who just make dog noises. Like, Frank Welker has built a career on pretending to be dogs.
How can a person make dog noises? Are you some kind of wizard?
No, but I mean, like, they didn't have the dog, like, detect evil or anything.
Yeah.
Which is a very common thing
That's true. Considering just how much repetition there is in this episode, it's really weird. Like, at least there's a half of the episode before the plot kicks in. They spend it just establishing the premise.
Yeah. This episode really felt like they had a very basic idea for a story and stretched out over 45 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. This could have been a 20-minute episode, no problem. Or they could have, like, done more with the elements they introduced that don't do anything.
They could have made some more hints to the fact that Eddie was more than a person.
Yeah,
rather than just
or
in
a
the last
hint.
Because, I mean, yeah, you assume he has some pretty bad intentions, and he's a criminal, but there's really no hint that he's the devil himself.
Okay, so...
Yeah. Or even a demon or ghost.
But a common criminal.
So I'm throwing this out there. I have no evidence for this, but I suspect that this is not the original ending of the episode, because it comes so out of left field, and Elspeth Eric, she's not, like, an amazing author. There's a reason that most of her work was for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, which, you know... $350 a script, flat rate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's making one a day.
Yeah, well, they didn't write the scripts that day, too.
But she sold them once a day, right?
Yeah, she's selling them once a day.
No, they buy them from a bunch of different people.
But she sold 200 of them.
She did sell 200 of them.
So she's rich.
that's more money than I've made in a lifetime.
What's her number?
She is very dead.
What?
I'm sorry. I like
all
that.
Did she get burned up in a house fire?
I don't know.
You think she buried her money with her?
Maybe.
Like a pirate and made her gold?
No.
Her CBS pirate money gold?
I really don't think so.
Or dollars?
But you're not sure.
Okay, but I'm saying, I've heard...
Grave digging! Yeah!
Okay, but my point is, her episodes tend to be more like...
Was this her first one?
No, I don't think so. They tend to be better than this.
You think maybe she had a migraine? a devil mind.
No, I think he's suggesting something else, which you should probably let him finish.
So. No, the devil got involved.
I think that this episode had a different ending.
Okay, what was the original ending?
Well, my theory is that probably it ended with her and Eddie doing stuff, and then her dying of a heart attack.
Really?
And him being kind of sinister about it. That would kind of make sense. I mean, it would at least pay off more stuff, you know?
I mean,
She finally gets a hint of, like, real life, and it kills her.
Yeah.
And then E.G. Marshall comes in and he's like, sometimes dreams are better.
Yeah.
I would have thought that ending was even worse than this one.
Or something like she thought she wanted to have sex with him, but as soon as she's, like, doing it, she's like, oh, God, this is awful. This isn't what I want, and... obviously, Eddie being a sinister person, maybe killing her or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they got too dark. So they're like, oh, he's the devil. That's a little easier.
Or the just anything. Like,
I still think the recording of her getting burned alive was pretty...
It was rough. Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, there are weird limits on, like, sex on radio. You can get a lot more explicit than on TV. But still, like, I think an actual, like there's... We'll get to it if we do Mind Over Matthew. I'm going to actually propose we do that, like, next week or something if you guys are down. We'll talk about it off air. This is not the place, and I'm going to cut this. But there are some questions about, like, you know, just how close to the sex act you can get. But still, like, a woman dying of a heart attack during sex, you probably can't put that on the radio.
That's possible. Hmm.
And, again, it would pay off shit.
I mean,
yeah,
what does
it would
sound
make
like
more sense.
Yeah, I mean, it might not be like...
Well, they would have just explained it.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, it wouldn't be
a heart attack isn't that quick. You don't die immediately.
Jeez, well, and on the radio, you do. I've heard episodes where people have heart attacks. And she's like, ah, my heart! And then...
Yeah. Fair enough. But they can talk after.
Yeah, or a little bit. Or just have E.G. Marshall come in and be... Again, he's like, I think we should put more importance on dreaming. And then the episode doesn't have that much to do with dreaming. And the moral isn't...
It really doesn't.
Yeah. And the moral...
Besides the basic premise.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the... Was she actually a secret Satan worshiper? She says, my dark lord at one point.
I mean, she must be. And also, she's like, oh, I recognize you.
Yeah. So.
But there's no evidence. There's even less evidence for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's no evidence for a lot of these things.
Maybe she's connecting to Satan. Well, she was, I
when
guess.
She's doing the dreaming.
Well, I mean, it's like you were talking about earlier. So much is just left up in the air that you really don't know anything, like... Why she divorced her husband? Was it because she was devil worshipping? That's
or
not
because
really that
dreaming all
at.
The time.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't divorce him.
Or maybe
him.
She just.
Matt's divorced. She says divorced.
Yeah, she could have lied.
That's fair, I guess.
Yeah, she probably would have said something like, "Oh, he died."
Yeah, because that's a little bit less scandalous, weirdly, than my husband divorced me and took my kid would be in the 70s. Because a woman losing her kid now probably means she's not a great mother.
Yeah.
I mean, the courts judge her not to be a great mother. Sorry, but. In the 70s, like, Kramer versus Kramer is literally, the wife is, like, such an abusive monster that they have to have this whole massive court battle to, like, stop her from having custody. And that was, like, a landmark, like, film. And people are like, wow, it's so amazing. And it's such a nail-biter that she'd get custody even though she's a monster in that movie.
Yeah.
I think. I haven't seen it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, in the sequel, Seinfeld, it's such a different tone.
Yeah. I mean, what happened to the kid, for one? Kramer does not have a child on that film. And that
you have to assume that he died a bloody death. So.
Yeah, Kramer, not a good father, it turned out. They really should have given it to the mother.
But yeah, anyways, so the episode was pretty much just random thoughts that really had nothing to do with each other. Had some kind of sinister end, and... I don't know.
That was it.
So, what did you guys think about it overall?
Yeah, would you recommend this episode to people?
I would not.
What thoughts?
I thought it was a semi-incoherent story and not that entertaining, not entertaining enough to listen to. I would skip to the very end, maybe just listen to that one part. You know, that I think just that part gives you, like, the best part of the entire thing. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And forget it.
I'm going to give this... Okay, first of all, if you've made it this far, we've ruined the episode for you. And there's really no point. I guess if you somehow skip to the recommendation, I would give it a really light, like, do this while you are doing something else. Like, it's a perfect thing to listen to while you're, like, checking Twitter or something. Because so much of it is repetition with not much happening. But I do think that if you somehow are hearing this without having the twist spoiled for you, it's sort of worth checking out because... You're like doing 40 minutes of just nothing, you know, repetition and a little bit of weird rape fantasies, and that's it. And then 5 minutes of absolute craziness, and I don't think those 5 minutes of absolute craziness are going to land too well unless you've heard the preceding, you know, 39 or whatever.
I don't think you would need it. Proceeding.
Well, if nothing else, Eddie being the devil won't come quite as far out of left field if you haven't met Eddie and found out that he's just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I definitely would not recommend it, especially if you've listened to this episode, because you already know what happens, so it'd be pretty boring. It is really out of left field. I don't even necessarily think that it's just because of the twist that it's worth listening to. Although, if you're like Lawrence and you are in the middle of a huge fever, and you, then it might be a good time to listen to it, because it'd be so wildly unexpected that you might think that, you know, you've died and gone to hell.
Yeah, there's a real possibility. Yeah. I think that did happen to me. Yeah. So if we ever get popular enough to have mail, here's where we will have a mailbag segment. But we don't right now. Does anyone want to speculate about a question someone could ask us?
I could read some texts that I got.
Are any of them sexy?
No.
Well, I don't...
I mean, probably from Logan, so... Yes.
Oh, man, you know Wolverine?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty much.
Speaking of which, the new Logan movie actually looks pretty good.
So you're going to recommend that, maybe?
Yep, that's my recommendation. Yeah, you know.
Well, by the time this airs...
Catch that movie.
Yeah, who knows what the future holds. So let's go around the circle and recommend something. It would be better if it were something sort of like an old-time radio drama. But on the other hand, like, I'm the one of us who actually knows and like listens to a shitload of old-time radio dramas because I have a weird brain disease. So, you know.
Yeah, he's got Mad Cow, but for humans.
It's called Kuru, and it's real. Look that shit up.
Yeah. So you have Kuru. Yeah.
Because of my insistence on practicing funerary cannibalism.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Stop doing it.
Especially since they're not even my relatives. I just go into the funeral home and say, like, what do you got for me?
And they're like, it's not a crime. We can't stop it.
Why do they actually respond to that?
Instead of calling security.
Or just not giving me the bodies would also be a solution.
Well, I assume you own the franchise, so...
So anyways, Ron...
Why don't you start with recommendations, since you have something prepared?
Okay, so I've been going through Tales from Beyond the Pale, which is Larry Fessenden's occasional audio drama series. They're all sort of horror... No, they're all horror, not sort of. Of kind of varying quality. I've noticed that a lot of American written, like old time radio type things, there tends to be overwritten, probably because it's really hard to write it properly, you know, get just the level of exposition, but also make the exposition sound natural. Anyways, but the one I listened to pretty recently that I quite liked was called The Chambers Tape. It's unusual because it's a form I've never encountered before, where it essentially just purports to be a guided meditation. A thing you listen to from like the 70s, you know, one of those like tapes they used to have. But then about halfway through, there's this, you know, obviously it's a horror thing, so there's a sinister twist on what the guided meditation is supposed to be doing to you. And I've heard like found footage horror before, and I've heard, you know, radio, I guess, found audio. And I've heard like listening to this audio file put you in danger of a demon possessing you or something things before. But I've never heard one quite. I've never heard an audio tape is guiding you through meditations that are sinister. So that it's worth checking out for that alone. And also, cool. I think his name is Misha Collins. He plays Castiel on Supernatural. Is like the voice of the main meditation thing. I didn't recognize him, but he did an awesome job with it. Hey, right, you guys got some roll?
Do you have anything?
I mean, I've got a couple things that I got.
I'll think of
something. Okay, so I guess I don't really have anything audio necessarily to recommend right now, but I will say if you enjoyed something like the episode today, but probably better and a little more like coherent, I've been watching, well, I watched the new season of Black Mirror a couple of months ago. It's basically like, it's kind of like this where each episode's a one-off and they're a lot more philosophical. There's not nearly as much like supernatural in it, but it is pretty interesting. Like, I think that if this episode had not just turned supernatural at the end and had like more of a coherent theme and maybe like was 200% more interesting, then it would be a lot more similar. But if you like something like this, but like a lot better, I would definitely recommend Black Mirror.
But Black Mirror is specifically concerned with the merger of technology.
And... It is, yeah. So it doesn't really have anything to do with technology, but it does look into like philosophical things on how people live. Go ahead.
I will also point out that Black Mirror quite frequently concerns like the difference between reality as we want it to be versus reality as it is, and how the like questing for reality as we want it to be destroys like our enjoyment or even experience of reality as it is. Mm-hmm. And that was something that this episode was trying
hinted at.
Yeah, hinted it was trying, at. Sort of trying to grapple with it in like the dumbest way possible devil showed up.
If there was actually more about dreaming versus reality in the episode, I think that it could have been a lot more effective of an episode and a lot more interesting. Instead, they just decided to make it the devil burn her house down.
Which is fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
Man, we're never going to be able to get over that twist. It is insane.
It's hard to get over something that just leaps out. It's kind of like one of those videos, like the Screamer videos. Where it's just a quiet video of a guy talking, so you turn it way up, and then suddenly somebody pops out and screams, and you're like, what the hell was that, man? Like,
I mean, you got a reaction from me. It was a dumb reaction, and you got it in a stupid way, but I did react.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, I hated those.
All right, Rahul, do you have any recommendations?
All right, my recommendation is... You remember the Red Light movie, Lawrence?
Invasion from Inner Earth.
That's my recommendation for the movie you should watch.
I don't think anyone should watch that.
It's maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
If you watch it while very high, I haven't done that.
I will say that if you enjoy things that are completely incoherent and don't really make any sense and have
watch that
and have an ending that makes like doesn't really connect with the rest of the movie, yeah.
Then... What was the ending to that movie?
Okay, the spoiler alert, sorry, for Invasion from Inner Earth. The ending is that the main characters see a spaceship in a field, and they walk towards it, and then they turn into little
They're
children.
All babies, that's right.
And then they go on the spaceship.
The end, best movie
ever. And also,
ever.
Apparently they were right about the whole East Coast being destroyed.
And yes, there might be a giant rose that's blocking out the sun with its petals. It's
they
unclear.
Read it in a book.
So anyways, yep, watch that one.
Yeah, watch that.
Don't watch it.
I'd say watch it, but like if you've got a TV that can do 1.5 speed and still show you the sound,
Maybe two. Yeah.
Cuz it's very slow.
If you have a TV that knows intuitively how much to skip, so you can only watch like 5 minutes.
Dude,
to get
it would just skip the whole
movie.
Thing. You'd just be like, it would be over.
There might be a couple parts worth watching.
Like when he's flying the plane and there's like a red,
red
flashlight. He's like, oh.
I don't even understand. Wasn't it a black and white movie?
Nah, it's in color. It just looks like it's in black and white because
it's
very poorly
so
made.
Badly
Fair
made.
Enough.
Yeah. So, anyways, signing out. Oh, one last thing. You guys want to plug anything?
Yeah, I'm an Apple shareholder, so buy Apple stock.
Well, we are using you had a tablet.
Yeah.
Anyways, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Wraith55, W-R-A-I-T-H 55.
So, yeah.
It's not 54 or 56.
Yeah, those guys are bullshit posers, and we're going to find them and kill them.
Yeah, we tweeted at them. Just what he said, so.
Yeah. Anyways, so signing off. See you guys next time.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Life's gonna gather it.